You've seen some things. Last night contained some things. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. There's a lot, isn't there? So,
that was such a sad laugh.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I guess I'll start with probably feeling what everybody else was feeling. And like, I did not think the game was over with 3 minutes left, as we've said, and it's probably become cliche, but it's 100% true. I know you guys have said it, I'm sure, at some point over the first four games of the series and leading into last night. You know, this Golden State team is capable of ripping off a 9-0, 12-0, 15-0 run at any point. We saw the run earlier in the series as well. The 18, the 20-0, they can, you know, explode in a hurry. Their offense can explode in a hurry. But with 3 minutes left, up six, and the crowd buzzing and the Warriors appearing to be on the ropes, did I think it was closer to over for the Raptors in terms of, you know, them ending the series? Yeah, I was sensing the moment, and I don't know if I can say I was surprised by the comeback, but I certainly wasn't feeling it at that time and in that moment.
Which timeout situation do you take more umbrage with? The Nick Nurse timeout at 3:05-ish after Kawhi rattles off a great individual run, or no timeout at 15:06 and allowing the Raptors to execute a play to wind down the clock without conferring or doing anything on the board?
I would say probably, if I had to pick between the two, Ashley, the time at the 3 minute mark, mm-hmm. I was, you know, listen, I don't know if Nick Nurse would do the same if given the opportunity now. Maybe he's listening, driving to the airport right now.
Hi, Nick.
You're doing great.
I think at that point, listen, I'm going to say exactly what you guys are feeling, what I'm sure a lot of people were feeling. It seemed that they just said that the Raptors had all the momentum going for them. You've got Kawhi scoring 10 straight points, and I understand his explanation after the game that, you know, we're going to lose the timeout. Let's take the timeout, give ourselves a chance to, you know, recuperate for a second, rest up, so we're fully loaded for the final 3 minutes. But the other, you know, side of the coin, of course, is you're doing the same thing for the opposition and allowing them to rest and recuperate and get off the ropes from the barrage that's been coming at them. I can kind of understand the one in the final 15, 20 seconds, because I have to assume the mentality is let's quickly inbound the ball and run it down their throats.
Yeah.
They're only up one. We're going to get a quick look. We're not going to allow them to set up their defense. We're not going to allow them to game plan for what we might do. Let's push it. Let's get a look. We only need one, you know, and we potentially win the ball game. I can understand that. But I can understand, obviously, the flip side of the coin of some people didn't like that play call as well. But I was really a little perplexed by that one at the 3 minute mark, just because it didn't seem like you had to take it, unless, and the caveat and the trump card to the whole thing is, did Kawhi Leonard or another player on the floor say, take a timeout? I'm spent right now. I need the breather. That's the one thing, obviously, that we don't know.
Yeah. Golden State. I thought they were a little saved by the bell, but mm-hmm. not the TV show, but just the fact that it was there for them. And you're right, late, I'm fine with you leaving a timeout on, because let's say you see an open shot early, you like it, you miss it, but you get the rebound. Maybe with 5-6 seconds left, you're calling timeout on an inbounds play if you don't love where the
rebound
is. Too,
Greg, they steal the ball, you miss the shot, they grab the rebound, you foul them immediately, you send them to the line, there might be 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds left, then you take your timeout so you can advance mm-hmm. the ball, and maybe you're down three and you're drawing up a play for a three ball. So I can understand that mentality, but one of the 3 minute mark, and that's why, to go where we all started, I think with up six with 3 minutes to go and the crowd buzzing and momentum on your side and Kawhi's rolling. And that's the other thing too, is timeouts or no timeouts. You know, you have to partially credit Golden State's defense, no doubt. Don't say it's just Toronto. Mm-hmm. But in those last few possessions, you know, I think with Kawhi playing the way he was with those 10 straight, for him to, and I believe, if not mistaken, he took one shot, and it wasn't a great one, on sort of a spinning fade from the, you know, from the far corner elbow. It wasn't a great look, but, you know, you had the Lowry turnover, the Lowry shot at the end that was Gasol, I believe, or Van Vliet with the drive that was looked like a foul that wasn't called. My point being, I think you needed to get Kawhi the ball more than you did in the final 90 seconds or so.
Eric Smith, our guest, he's headed out to Oakland. Game 6 on 680 News, Sportsnet 590. The Fan right here. We'll pick it up immediately following Blue Jays Orioles on Thursday night. If there is a Game 7, it's back Sunday at Scotiabank Arena. All right, the Kevin Durant injury itself, he's playing well. there's going to be a lot of balls in the air, a lot of fingers of blame. Is it a blameful or blameless situation? The player wanted to play. He was medically cleared. He rehabbed for 33 days, and it didn't work out for them. Where do you lay on it?
I think that there's really no blame to be put here if I'm being, you know, my gut reaction to it. And the reason I would say that is, yeah, I would assume this is a broad stroke for pro sports. How many times do players potentially, I mean, you know, we maybe can't say it with complete authority, how many times do players potentially lie or skew the facts of how they're actually feeling in order to get back onto the floor, the court, the field, et cetera? How often do medical staff tell a player, no, you're fine, when a player maybe doesn't feel exactly right, and does the, you know, player feel some sort of pressure to be back out there? Listen, if you've got a guy out for a month plus, and you've conferred with the player, you've conferred with the agent, with management, with the doctors, with the medical staff, et cetera, and everybody's in agreement, I'm not sure if you can then after the fact say, it's your fault, I shouldn't have been out there. Unless, again, there's a conversation that happened that we aren't privy to, where Durant or his agent said, no, he shouldn't be going, or I don't want to go, and the staff kept pushing and pushing and pushing and saying, no, you must be there. So, you know, to take a man for his word, if we're listening to Bob Myers, you know, through his emotions, his tears that came after the game, he said that everybody was on board with the decision, including Kevin. The scene that was portrayed or painted to me, guys, in the moment, even as it was happening, I was standing in the back, Doris Burke, of course, doing sideline for the ABC broadcast, Ramona Shelburne was doing sideline for the ESPN radio broadcast, and the three of us spent pretty much the entire second quarter and well into halftime at the back outside the Warriors locker room. And when we were looking for an update, I literally spent, you know, 20 plus 30 minutes back there waiting. And finally, when the update came, we were told it is a very somber scene. Kevin Durant is in the back. Bob Myers has his head in his hands, and Rich Kleiman, Durant's agent, is back there with him. And it is dead quiet in the locker room. We're awaiting further tests. So to me, it was all three in the moment together sharing this grief, this anguish over the injury. That to me is you know, speaks to a united front in some senses, and a guy that, whether he was saying, I'm going and I got to give my team their all, I got to give them my all because we're down 3-1, or whether it was simply, as Bob said, the staff cleared him, everybody was on board with it, and this is just an unfortunate injury. I don't know that it's fair to say it's your fault.
And it was Andre Iguodala helping him physically off the court to the change room, Steph Curry walking back with them to the change room as well, behind them off the court. So yeah, feeling it as a team. But here's the next question, E. We know that one shift, one minute thing can change a series, and this is significant. So although a lot of people are saying, yeah, this Warriors team is not as good without Kevin Durant, well, that's true. Is there an element to this where you're like, oh my gosh, what if this sparks something in the Warriors? Like, our guy KD came back, maybe against better judgment, got hurt, a substantial injury, and now we got to play our asses off for this guy, and that's the turning point for the Warriors.
Oh, very well could be. Actually, I think, you know, we might have even seen a glimpse of it last night in winning that game. I know it might sound cliche, but again, you guys have talked a lot about this over the series, I'm sure. This is still an extremely talented team that has, a two-time MVP, a hell of a defensive player and an all-defensive player in Klay Thompson, let alone in Draymond Green, a defensive player of the year. And I know DeMarcus Cousins is not the same as his former self, but the experience that he brings as an all-star and a finals MVP and Andre Iguodala, this is still a very talented team, no doubt. And I don't want to sound like a revisionist here. I said this to multiple people before the game last night. I if the Raptors don't win this game, I think we're coming back for 7. I hope I'm proven wrong. I would love to see Toronto take care of business in Oakland on Thursday. But there's a major part of me that just, you know, whether it's the skeptic or whether it's the guy that looks at the numbers and says, hold on a second, as hard as it is to beat Golden State twice in a row in their joint, which Toronto's already done, are you really going to beat them 3 straight times? Are you going to go back down to Oakland on Thursday and be able to beat the Golden State Warriors on their home floor for a 3rd straight time in the series and to close out Oracle Arena officially on Thursday with yet another loss? I think that's a tall order for Toronto to take on. And now if we look at it, and I said it to Steph last night in the post-game interview I did on Sportsbet, the road team has now won the last 4 games. Toronto has lost twice at home. Golden State's lost twice at home. To me, it's almost a pick'em at this point. The X factor being now, are the Warriors against the ropes with Durant out and maybe with Looney sidelined? I know there's some reports now saying that he should be okay for game six. Or, to your point, Ashley, is this yet another motivating factor for them that they rally behind, which they seemed to do in game last night?